the way that I'm able to parent my children who are such different personalities, and also the way that I understand myself, came largely from the work I did with you, Wendy, because as soon as you profiled our family and I got to understand who my kids were, it changed everything for me. And I don't think that we'd be as successful as we are if not for the work you did to help us. So thank you for that.
That was Sarah Van Rensburg. She is currently CEO of a company called Potential Arena, which is all about unleashing potential in virtual teams. And you will hear from the interview that she's doing something different now. So she's at sarah@potentialarena.com. This is a rich interview because she is an ENTP and she is parenting an ENTP. She talks about herself in school, how she kept jumping from one thing to another, how she needed to collaborate and negotiate. She talks about how you can communicate and get them to listen. She talks about how her own son takes things apart and can seem disrespectful at times. We discuss how to handle their fast-acting creative mind, how their mind works conceptually rather than linearly. Understanding their impatience, explosivity, and lagging emotional development, and handling sibling rivalry. She's had to work on that quite a bit. This interview is gold. It's a little bit longer, but it is worth the listen. Are your kids staging a rebellion against the sanity in your home? Is your child a living puzzle you can't understand? Are you craving insight into the minds of your adopted or stepchildren? There is a powerful way to learn how God designed them and how to guide them to their full potential while also learning about yourself so you can overcome negative patterns that are stealing your joy. Welcome to Not So Normal Parenting, where we unravel the mysteries of family dynamics from toddlers to teens using team building tools like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. I'm Wendy Gossett, personality prodigy and parenting coach, best-selling author, speaker, and viral, embarrassing dancing mom. I raised a son and daughter that are as different as Bob Ross and the Black Widow, and I am definitely not normal. Okay, let's dive into the beautifully not so normal together. Hello, everyone. Today we have with us Sarah Van Rensburg. She is CEO and president of the Colorado Thought Leaders Forum. She is joining us today from her beautiful background, snowy background in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, and the reason we have Sarah here is because she is an ENTP, which is such a fascinating temperament. But an ENTP is an extroverted, intuitive, thinking, perceiving type. And if you look at a brain scan of this type, it's actually the most creative type. And they use their brain lights up like a Christmas tree when they're problem solving or when they are just brainstorming ideas and possibilities. And what a perfect place for you to be, Sarah, as the president of Colorado Thought Leaders Forum, where you just help people find possibilities for their business and for, you know, what they can be and everything their business can be. And so, Sarah, what were you like as a child? Loaded question.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I did well in school. To me, school was a game. Like, it was all about playing to win. Nobody ever imposed it on me, but I wanted to get done faster than everybody else. I always like to play this game. Can I anticipate what the teacher is going to ask me before she asks it so I can finish before she gets to the next thing? I always just wanted to win and engage. Equally true, if something wasn't my idea or I wasn't interested in it, I pretty much ignored it. And I had a hard time sticking with things. I like to try different things. But once something got too serious or there was too much pressure on it, I was out, ready to try the next thing.
That is so interesting. And you just described so beautifully the fast acting ENTP brain. It is one of the fastest acting brains. And ENTPs are big picture because they have that extroverted intuition is their number one brain function. And extroverted intuition is all about exploring possibilities. And, you know, sometimes that brain can just like jump to the next thing, you know, really, really quickly and kind of anticipate what the other person is going to say. And you just described that so well. And you also talked about being bored easily. So can you talk about the subjects that, you know, were really easy for you or that you were really fascinated by and then the subjects that you were bored with?
It took me a long time to learn to read. Like I was a slow reader at first and I, you know, looking back, it might've been just cause I wasn't interested in it. I loved science. I liked history. And over my entire lifetime, I've been able to get myself interested in a huge variety of things. So usually if I could engage myself in why I wanted to win at a subject, it really didn't matter if I was interested in it. I would figure out how to do well anyway.
So I call this like, so there are different kinds of extroverts. There are extroverts that blast and like they love to talk a lot and they're more serious and intentional. And sometimes these extroverts don't even think they're extroverts, but you are the type of extrovert that wants to, and I'm not saying now, but as a kid, wants to show off what they know and wants to win. And so it sounds like you were really, really motivated by that. So the teachers that were kind of impressed by you, did you feel like you had a better relationship with those teachers because they recognized your potential?
I think so. I mean, I generally had a great relationship with my teachers. I was often told, though, I was talking too much. And I remember being irritated a lot as a child when the teachers would make room for people who were going slower. You know, they would be repetitive. They would asked me to wait and let somebody else chime in. I'm like, come on, let's go, guys. It just frustrated me a lot when the entire pace didn't go at the one I wanted. I do remember being asked to be in peer groups a lot and, you know, hey, go work with these kids. And maybe that's what they were doing. I didn't even notice. They were trying to occupy my energy.
Yes. And that is actually, you know, a fantastic strategy for ENTPs is to, you know, put them in a group where they can kind of be in charge. And tell me, what was it like growing up in your household? Did you feel like your parents, you know, understood your energy and your creativity and all that?
No, they did not. My parents were controlling. They were very rigid. They never spent any time talking about why we had the rules, only that we had the rules. And, for me, if I didn't understand why a standard was in place or why they wanted me to do something, it was really hard to engage in it. And so for me, all it was this, you know, constant battle. And I hated feeling restricted and controlled. I hated it when they wouldn't make room for my voice so that we could negotiate. Like, yeah, you've got this rule, but, you know, hey, this is the way I see it. It would have been really nice if I could have actually, you know, engaged with them in it, because the result was pretty bad that they didn't. I knew that there was a line I couldn't cross as a child. But when I was old enough, you know, I had a lot of bottled up anger that I felt like I was just being held back from them. And by the time I reached my senior year in high school, I started to rebel with intention. Like it was actually a goal. I'm going to cross every line, every barrier that you have for me. And I actually put my will behind doing the opposite of what they wanted, which I look back on that and think that was so stupid, but I was going to prove that I was in control of my life and they were not at all costs. And it would have been much better for me in the long run if there would have been more room to find that space inside my parents' home.
Wow. Wow. That is, it's so powerful for any parents listening to know that if you have an ENTP, that authoritarian approach is not gonna fly with that type. And you know, I think parents just feel like, you know, it's that traditional way of parenting that they feel like if they're gonna let their kid get the upper hand, you know, if they give in at all. And so, but there is that middle ground, which is negotiation, because an ENTP is probably number one for being the best negotiator out there. And so if you just allow your child and you know, allow them to collaborate with you on the solution to the problem, like instead of saying, you know, this is the way it has to be, say, you know, okay, let's meet halfway here. You come up with a solution, Sarah, of how you would like this to go. And then you present it to us and, you know, let's try to meet halfway, you know, and so for them to just be more open to listen to you.
Well, it is worth noting, now that I'm older, I can articulate this kind of stuff. But when I was a child, I couldn't. I am very willing to submit and to bend my will. I don't have to be right. And in fact, now as an adult, I seek out people who disagree with me regularly. And I like to be questioned and challenged because it helps me grow. And the only thing that makes me either fight or bend is like, can I see a reason why this is important? Is it relevant? Am I personally engaged in it?
Yes. So not only, you know, collaborating with your ENTP, but then also taking the time to tell them the logic behind it. You know, why you're saying no, because as you said before, their rules didn't make any sense to you. And so you decided to rebel because you were tired of following all these rules that made no sense to you, because you're an ENTPs are out of the box and they are not conventional people. They're the reason we have innovation and, you know, just all these new amazing things happening in the world, because they're constantly on the front end with their amazing creativity. And, you know, and something else that parents don't understand is that ENTPs are multi-potentialed. So it sounds like your parents were kind of traditional. Were they frustrated? Like if you didn't pick one path and stick with it, did they kind of?
They were frustrated when I quit a path. I played an instrument, I was pretty good at it. And when I started getting, you know, much better, my teacher, you know, saw me as a, you know, prodigy, I guess, and I'm going to invest in this kid. And she started getting so serious. And as soon as that pressure, that control started being imposed, I'm like, yeah. And I think my parents had a lot of grief around how I could so flippantly quit something that I was good at. And you know, for me, it was all about, it had to be enjoyable to me. And sometimes those external forces took away my joy and I just didn't want to do it anymore.
That's so interesting. And so that brings up another point, that you are the type of extrovert that loves to play. Just, you need playfulness in your life. And so do you think it was just when it got too intense because it wasn't joyful anymore? Or do you think it was also because ENTPs love to be excellent and they love to show off and they love to be the best? And so you had already mastered it to the degree that you wanted to, and you didn't want to go any farther, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true, especially when I was younger. Like if I was not going to be as good as, you know, everybody else, then I didn't want to play with that. I think about very short round playing basketball, and I am, you know, 5'2". I was horrible and it was not something I wanted to continue. Now though, like what I've seen in college and work is I am able to stay in a role and find a path, find interest, take on new things, volunteer for things, expand my knowledge and occupy that desire for exploration and change in a seat, as long as I have some room to play. And play is the right word.
I love that. That's a really great idea for parents to play around with is how can you take whatever your ENTP is bored in, you know, say school, and just, you know, inspire them to come up with a creative way to make that boring project fun. Like, you know, make it out more out of the box and, you know, make it fun and encourage them to do that, you know, not necessarily having to drop things and change, but to figure out how to maybe put their unique spin on it. But that is part of an ENTP, is to just be curious about everything and to have this broad telescope approach to life and want to dabble in everything. I mean, did you find that you were kind of a dabbler in all kinds of things?
Yeah, I was. And I at one point in my life, when I was a little bit older, I looked back thinking, wow, there's a lot of things I could have done for a living if I would have just pursued that, you know, where I ended up. I'm sure it was meant to be, but there are a lot of other paths I could have taken that would have been very, very different. I swam, I played volleyball, I did fine arts, I played cello, I played piano, got into camping is one of my things. I'd still do that. I paddleboard. I like to hike. I like to cross country ski. I still now do. I like to find, actually, this is interesting. I like to find things that are not average. If everybody else is doing them, I am not all that interested, but if not, I tend to like to pour myself in more, maybe because of being able to be the best. I don't know.
Quite an impressive list that you just named off: cello and swimming and volleyball and all those things. So did all of those things kind of have a short shelf life for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the longest was probably 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them were, you know, one or two seasons.
So this is interesting. The adult ENTPs that I have had the pleasure of knowing are all like trivia masters, because they know a little bit about everything because they're dabblers. And so because you've been involved in so many things, you probably just have this wealth of knowledge in all kinds of different subjects.
I do, but for me, I have a really hard time remembering the details, because when I learn, it's a concept. I hear details and I immediately translate them into a concept that grows, and my grasp of that concept expands, but I can't go back and remember all the details that I used to build the concepts. You know, it's big picture only.
I'm gonna have to pause this when I'm going back and editing it and write that down word for word, Sarah, because you just explained so beautifully the ENTP type, because you are this big picture conceptual person and you like to get the gist of this and this and this and this and this. But when it comes to the details, and that happens to be an ENTP's inferior function. That is, every type has four psychological functions that they use in their brain. And they've actually done EEG maps of the brain to show this. And an ENTP's most inferior function that stresses them out and they don't like it, which is probably why you have admins to deal with details, are the details. ENTPs do not like details. And it's called introverted sensing. And part of introverted sensing is also being aware of your own bodily needs, how your body is feeling. And people that have introverted sensing as number one tend to have like sensory processing disorder as kids, because, you know, the shirt is feeling too rough, or the sound is too loud, but for you, it's kind of the opposite. It's like, you don't really feel your body or care about those things as a kid. I mean, I'm not saying that as an adult, but ENTPs as kids can tend to brush their teeth too hard or comb their hair too hard or talk loud, or they don't understand really about where they are in space. You're nodding. I don't know if you can relate to that or not.
I can. And something else you said just made me remember also, you know, when I was quitting some of those things, I could never articulate to my parents in a logical way why I was quitting. To me, it was just this gut decision. I just knew it was time to move on to the next thing. And I still make most of my decisions, you know, more from this place of gut. And I can't always articulate exactly why in a way that other people get. And it's hard to not be able to say it in a way that satisfies someone else. But for me, I just don't need that extra information.
Is there a way that you've kind of learned over the years, you know, when you don't agree with something to be able to voice it, like how would you have an ENTP son. So how would you help him be able to articulate a little better how he's feeling or why he's moving on from one thing to the next?
So I tend to move from like A to Z very, very quickly. And so I think my problem when I was young is I would answer questions where I would articulate at the end of the sentence. And so for me, the lifelong reminder has been start at the beginning of the sentence and help people understand how I got from A to Z. So when I'm talking to my son, I usually start with, I back up many steps and just find out, what were you thinking in this particular moment? Okay, and then what did you figure out from here? And is there anything else you thought about while you were trying to make that decision? He's not very good at it now, but I know that if I could train him to be aware of the process of thinking, that he'll maybe even be more mindful when he's doing things that I look at and think, what are you doing? And maybe not do some of the dumb stuff that makes me crazy. Yeah, so Garrett has been, my son, the NTP, he took apart a door when he was three and put it back together, and it never went back the same. Tried to do the same thing, taking apart the car. One time had wires all over the floor, and I come around the corner, he's like, Mom, I need more power. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. And then this recent story, he cut a 1-inch square out of our screen door because he needed it to make something that he was doing. And then the dog walked through it. And now the screen door, you know, at the end of the summer, it was hanging, just shredded. I'm like, buddy.
See, it's easy for me to laugh, right? Because it's not my screen door. But so how did you handle that, Sarah? All the parents of ENTPs want to know.
Well, I asked him, what were you thinking? And he looked at me like he couldn't even understand the question. Like, it wasn't a, what do you mean? What was I thinking? It was, but because I can relate to him, I got to say, I have a hard time getting upset at some of the stuff he does, because I know he's just exploring and he doesn't intend any harm. It's not like he's disregarding our rules let me say it differently. I know he's not disrespecting our things because he doesn't care. He just doesn't see the line as black and white. He doesn't see the rule as relevant. I remember one time I was in fourth grade and I called my teacher by her first name. I called her Linda, and she lost her mind. And I remember sitting there thinking, What just happened? I'm like, I don't know why this is a big deal. I just crossed over a line that apparently everybody else knew. But to me, I didn't understand how I crossed it. And frankly, somebody had to explain it to me because I couldn't get there by myself. And I see that in Garrett, my son. He doesn't think he's being disrespectful.
Well, ENTPs kind of walk around like a little boss baby CEO with a briefcase. You know, they're like little adults walking around in a child's body, and they're on a fast track to becoming an adult. And an ENTP child wants respect. ENTPs sometimes just need someone to listen. They don't need, like a sounding board. They don't need you to give them a lot of feedback. They just need someone to listen to their big ideas. And so what a lot of introverted parents of ENTPs, and you might be able to speak to this with your husband, just all their words are a lot for parents. And so, I just kind of talk about, you're just there to be a sounding board, and you don't have to do anything other than just to listen and let your ENTP talk.
Huge. I think one of the big things that It took me a long time to realize I love to talk out loud. I love to talk about ideas. It gives me just as much juice to talk about an idea I'm never going to pursue as the one that I'm going to start tomorrow. And it took me a long time to realize when I would talk about ideas, people would think that I was about to pursue them. And then they would start to say, well, wait, like you should think this through. And I'd be really frustrated because when I would bring ideas, they would immediately try to impose limits. And I felt to me like squash them or control them, and which was the exact opposite of what I wanted or what I needed. And eventually I came to realize, oh, they think I'm about to do it. And this sounds like a crazy idea to them. Even now at work, I have to work very, very hard not to speak so that my team thinks we're going to, you know, start a brand new business line tomorrow and forget everything we've ever done. It happens all the time where I accidentally give someone the wrong idea. So for ENTPs, you know, for my son, I always try to just let him talk about brand new ideas. And I don't expect him to do it tomorrow. I just give him some space.
Yeah. So just do you appreciate validation just for, wow, that's a super creative thought that I would have never thought about.
Yeah, Garrett wants to be an inventor. And he, even when he was little tiny, when I grow up, I'm going to do this. When I grow up, I'm going to make that. Would you like it if I built you this? And I would always say yes, because I knew he wasn't going to try to build it right now. He just had these ideas. And then I bought him a notebook, Garrett's invention notebook. And I told him, hey, put all your ideas in this and let's go back and talk about them. And now we have so much fun looking back at the notebook. Look at all these things you were going to invent. And then it sparks new ideas. So that's kind of been our platform for him to play with ideas in a safe space.
That is so fantastic. And one thing, though, is that coming to conclusions, you know, that can be frustrating for parents because maybe you hear like a really good idea and you think he should pursue that. Do you have any thoughts for how to help an ENTP who has so many ideas and they really can struggle to coming to conclusions with making decisions? Have you discovered anything that helps you narrow it down and actually be able to come to conclusions?
That is a really good question. Yeah, because I can see looking back how it was really hard to have all these possibilities and to know what to do. The key for me has been to see the links between them, the themes. Because it sounds like all these random things I've done over my lifetime, but they weren't. There was a thread that brought them all together. And I think if a parent could help their child start to see the themes and the commonalities, now you've got a child going down a very wide path. Yes, it's not narrowed down, but it's one path instead of what feels like 100 different random unconnected things.
I love that because what I've seen in a lot of the ENTPs that I've worked with is that's exactly what they've done. They've pursued all these different things, but they're all kind of under the umbrella of, say, web design, you know, because web design incorporates so many things. It's graphic art, it's marketing, it's sales, it's being an entrepreneur, it's technology, it's, you know, believing in someone's potential. There's just so many things under that umbrella. And so to be able to find the commonalities as a parent, as you hear your child brainstorm, and it goes back to what you said about concepts. You're more of a concept person, conceptual, big picture. And so, you know, finding those themes, I think that's just, you know, a great tip for parents.
When it looked like I was bouncing around or I quit something I was good at, I wonder what would have happened if my parents would have invited me to see an opportunity to optimize it or to make it better or to change what I didn't like about it. Because it was always a frustration, always a limit or control frustration that would cause me to want to bounce when I probably shouldn't have. Yes, sometimes I bounced when I was ready to, but when I shouldn't have quit, it was always about control or frustration or limits. And I wonder what they could have done for me if they'd have encouraged me to use my creativity to optimize it and to see new possibilities, or to sprint something forward fast and make it better, or to finish well. Like if all they would have had me do is finish well, I would have re-engaged my mind.
So that's interesting, because finishing is a limitation. I mean, finishing is like you were saying, that control frustration. So that would seem to me that would be a control frustration, to have this traditional parent say, okay, you got to finish what you start.
Yeah, but remember, you're talking to a kind of a personality who likes to be the best. Like, what if you could finish this better than anybody else? Like, what if you could really set yourself apart in the way that you finish this? What about finishing this well would make you proud? I don't see it as a limit so much as a how. And I think that's another thing that's really made the difference for me in my lifetime is really engaging myself in how am I going to do this? How am I going to be known? How are other people going to perceive me? Not because I want to impress them, but because I have a personal pride. I think engaging that would be helpful.
Yeah. So you're saying that, you know, that since an ENTP does strive to be excellent and does have that competitive side to be the best, that a parent should really kind of play into that versus, you know, because I said so, because, you know, we finish what we start, this is what people do, or, you know, because ENTPs don't care about what people do.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, so many people don't understand that concept of you don't care what people think. And you know, and it's not this blanket statement. Like, of course you care. You have amazing integrity in what you do and your business, and impressing someone does care what someone thinks. But I guess what I'm saying is you don't care about conventions. Like, you don't care about how you get to the goal. But you do care about being excellent and being the best. So
yeah, I think it's a hierarchy. I care what I think more than I care what other people think. And anybody who knows me would be unbelievably surprised to hear me say that, because everything I do now as an adult is to serve other people and to help them and to create environments where people can thrive. And I do that because it gives me joy to serve somebody else well, not because it's the right thing to do to serve. And that's that good people do that. Your distinction is spot on.
Yeah. So it's like, no matter what, an ENTP just wants to kind of feel like they did it. Like they found the path. Like, you're not interested in being a consumer of someone else's stuff. You want to invent your own stuff. ENTPs are inventors. That's another way of saying it. They are entrepreneurs. They working for someone else is not going to float their boat, or, you know, they're always going to want to find a way to put their own spin on things.
Their meaning on it too. I think that's an important word.
Yes.
My own personal meaning or value or reason or intention or purpose, any one of those words works, but it has to be an engagement that they make.
Yeah. And so that's a great, great point as well, that extroverted intuition, which is what ENTPs lead with, is highly idealistic. And I know a lot of ENTP kids that struggle with just wanting to do something huge in the world and really, really being petrified, thinking about selecting a college or selecting a career path, because not only do they have these high, high, high expectations for themselves, but now they have to limit their possibilities and pick one. And so what was that like for you, Sarah, that huge process of figuring out your path?
Well, I actually, it's funny you say that. My parents had an imposed limit. I was only going to go to college in state because they said, this is the tuition we can afford. So that gives you these choices. And, you know, here are some of the things we invite you to consider. They did actually a really good job with that, because if they would have let me go to any school in the country that would have, you know, done anything for me, it would have been, I think, a disservice to me, because I don't know if how I would have chosen. So that's a limit that did help me, and they didn't do it to try to hold me back. They said, hey, we want to help you. We want to set you up for success. Here's what we notice about you. That I went to school on a fine arts scholarship. I painted and was really good at it. And I got a scholarship, and my parents are like, hey, look, you're good at a lot of things. Like, we want to encourage you not to go to an art school, because you'll have more possibilities. So maybe you could consider a school that has a strong art program, that you can go there and then explore a little bit. That language was perfect. And that's exactly what happened. I went on fine arts, ended up doing organizational psychology, and somehow those words, the way they set me up for college, didn't feel like a limitation, even though most of what they did feel like control.
That's amazing.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's really great that they just gave you that permission to explore. So, so interesting that you were really good in art. I know a lot of ENTPs that love art. They love music. And I know you dabbled in music as well, but just that creativity of being able to create something from nothing. Did you have opportunities as a child to explore the way you needed to explore? I know you said you had a lot of limits, but did you kind of find ways to do that?
I did. I mean, I got to go to camp in the summers, and that was huge for me. My parents let me go to Guatemala with another family for a summer. That was huge. I think for me, everything I look back on that was just those moments that changed me were always about giving me the freedom to go out and find my own person, just to go beyond my own. I'm a twin, and my parents were really supportive of us having different friends. That was another way that they encouraged us to just find our own place in the world, and that helped.
And I love what you said too about how you are just lit up by helping people. An ENTP, your teenager or your 10-year-old function, psychological function, which brings you a lot of joy and fun. And a lot of people love their 10-year-old function because it's just fun. 10-year-olds are fun. And so yours is extroverted feeling, which is people, which is harmonizing with people and being around people, knowing, you know, helping people, all those things that you talked about. But it tends to not develop in an ENTP right away. So as a young female ENTP, maybe not having as much empathy as some of the other females that you were around, what was that like being a female ENTP who maybe didn't have that extroverted feeling developing right away?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I'd relate to people who were overly emotional. I related to thinkers only, like logic. Even though I'm not a linear thinker, I related that more than I did people who would maybe feel their way through. I think though there was a point, and I can't recall exactly how the shift occurred, but my impatience started turning into showing up as I didn't want to sit through a conversation that wasn't meaningful, that I didn't actually connect with people in a way that mattered. And that's still true today, because if it's not worth it, I don't want to do it. And that includes a conversation, a task. All of it, the whole package.
So tell us what kind of conversations are not interesting to you, so parents can kind of understand that their ENTP is not being rude, and you know that they could maybe help their ENTP excuse themselves in a polite way, or to maybe not get into that conversation in the first place, to kind of maybe be proactive about it.
Yeah, so repetitive conversations, top of the list. task-oriented conversations where all we do is go through this linear list of things that we have to do. Ugh, drives me bonkers still today.
That's introverted sensing. Yeah. That's that inferior function again, going through the list, nitpicking little details.
Yep, so sorry to me catch up. No, conversations about that don't include why or a point. I have to have a point that we actually express and are clear about. And yeah, my parents used to just talk about stuff, but they never started at the beginning of the sentence and they never included me on how or why something mattered. And those were the ones that where I either disengaged or fought against. And as I got older, I would fight.
Yeah. So you were that little kid that, and you know, it's funny because people think that this is every little kid that asks why, but an ENTP asks it way, way more often. And one of the tips I give parents is, you know, invest in a speaker, you know, like Alexa or Google or whatever. So that little tiny ENTP can ask Alexa, they can ask Google, you know, their why questions all the time. And did you find that, you know, when you did ask why, if your parents just said, I don't know, did that cause you to lose some respect?
No, but because I said so would send me, you know, reeling. I could not stand being told because I said so. And it happened a lot in my family. And yeah, I did not appreciate that. I think that for me, emotion is something I process intellectually. Like I think about my feelings and I don't just feel them separate, it's connected. And so sometimes I think I was expected to just feel the connection to people without the thought connection. Yeah, like I didn't understand why something was important to other people. So I would seem disconnected or rude or disengaged because I just genuinely didn't understand why it was important to someone else. And unless I could feel it and think it, it just didn't connect for me.
Did you notice that, you know, as you matured a little bit, like around age 11, 12, 13, that social interaction started getting easier for you?
Yeah, for me, it took a little bit longer than that. I think I started feeling like I was in my skin around a little more around ninth grade. Then I went to high school, we switched in 10th. But then I started hitting my groove in 11th grade. And by 12th, I was like in my element socially, and I was able to carry that with me into college, but it took longer.
Yeah.
I thought of something else though, because the answer I just gave you on the last question was incredibly complicated. And I think this is worth pointing out that for me, nothing is ever simple. And I've caused frustration to a lot of people over the years, because for me, it's very complicated. There's so many layers to everything. And I think when I was little, my parents just tried to make everything black and white, and it wasn't for me. It was always very muddy. And I was just laughing at the way I answered that question.
Well, and it's funny that you bring that up, because introverted thinking, we haven't talked about that yet. That's your secondary function. And so that's like the co-pilot of your car. You know, you drive with extroverted intuition, and then introverted thinking is your co-pilot. And introverted thinking is what you just described. And it's so funny, because thinking as a function in general is more black and white than feeling. Feeling is more muddy and gray. But I have found lately that introverted thinkers really kind of bristle when I talk about black and white thinking, because they're like, no, it's muddy, it's gray. And so it's kind of like the feeling version of thinking, if that makes sense. It's like you're logical and you have this logical and rational brain, but you don't like this conventional way of thinking where there's a black and a white. You are more of an out of the box thinker, more fluid. Like there's definitely more than one way to skin a cat. Is like an ENTP's, you know, favorite phrase.
Black, white, right, wrong. It feels external, and I don't make decisions that way. I make decisions internal on how I chose to see them. And so that I don't even know how to process that question.
Well, actually, you just explained it, because introverted thinking is personal to each individual. So you can't quantify it. You can't put rules on it, because it's your reasons are Sarah's reasons. And that's not in any binder or textbook anywhere. It's just, it's your reasons. And that's what makes an ENTP seem like a challenger to their parents, because what mom and dad's reasons are, or even what the school's reasons are not Sarah's reasons. Curiosity begets curiosity. It's like an ENTP is curious and their parents need to be curious.
I'll give you a real example right now that I think might help. So my son, the ENTP, and my daughter, who is very, very, very black and white. She cares about justice. She does not want to be wronged. Everything is neat, meticulous, in order. They are struggling a lot. And Garrett is just, he's 10, and he's just now starting to be able to even notice that she's irritated. But for the last couple of years, he's been stepping over every boundary she has without any regard. And she thinks that I'm allowing him to wrong her in ways that are incredibly devastating. And it's been hard. But now that Garrett is a little bit older, I'm trying to help him start think about, well, what would it be like if you protected your sister? Like, you know, could, what would it look like if you took care of her? Or what would it look like if, like, when are the times you have fun with Annie? What does that look like? And, you know, when you make her upset, what do you notice? What do you see? How does that affect you? Do you like it when she gets mad at her? And I'm trying to get him to connect to her. Not because I'm telling him to please stop driving your sister crazy, but to get him to start to develop his own reasons why he's not going to drive her crazy. And it's a long process. I mean, I've been working on this for 9 months, but I'm starting to see the fruit. And I know that if I just tell him not to do it, we'll never see fruit.
You know, you demonstrated kind of these open-ended questions that get him to think about it. And because ENTP is especially putting your two kids together, because one is a black and white thinker, your daughter is, and that's her number one, is that black and white thinking. And so she feels like there's one way to skin a cat, and it's the way it is in the directions right here.
That's right.
And what's so
sorry,
no, just go ahead.
Else. I'm always giving him boundaries though in a different way. So I will regularly tell him, hey, you know, I want you to decide for yourself to stop driving your sister crazy, because you know, this isn't fun for any one of us. We can all see what's going on, and I'd like you to make that choice and find your own reason. But if you will not, these are going to be the consequences. You know, I don't want to control you. I don't want to stop you, but if I have to, I will do that. And here's why. And so it's not like I'm trying to be a mushy parent where I just let him do whatever he wants and find his own way. There's boundaries, but I help him see that they're coming before I push them, or before I lock the bars into place, so that he gets to make the choice to let me do it or to find a different way.
Yeah. And I love that he gets to make the choice. You know, that's, do you want to, when they're really, really little, do you want to drink out of the red cup or the blue cup? Do you want to wear, you know, and that's like a parenting tip that's just low hanging fruit for, you know, on every parenting coach's website, you give your kid choices, but for an ENTP, it's more important than any other type that you give them choices, and that you realize they're arguing or they're debating is not intended to be a slam to your authority as a parent. It's just what they're good at. They're really, really good at debating and negotiating. And
you're bringing up something else I think is important. Giving Garrett, and I'm speaking from someone, this is the way I want to be parented. So this is why I parent my son this way. When I ask him to do something, it's very common. He'll just say no. And he's trying to see what I'm going to do about it. And I had to decide early on, which hill am I going to die on? Is it the way he's talking to me, or is it the task I want? And I had to separate those for him, because If I ask him to go to the dishwasher and that's what I want him to do, and he tells me no, and now all of a sudden I make it about him telling me no, he's just feeling this restriction on every single front. And it's like, he can't figure out what I want him to do, because I was talking about the dishwasher and now I'm talking about the way you're talking to me. So what I have done that's been very effective is I'll let him tell me no. And then, you know, he acts like he's going to rebel every time, every single time. He pretends like he's disregarding me. And then I walk away and I give him the space. And sure enough, I see him, you know, he tries to do it so I can't see him. He wants to have me not notice. And then for him to be able to exceed my expectations by doing it and then saying, look, it's done. And then later I'll bring up the way he talked to me and set some standards about it in a different setting so that he's not feeling this push on everything, because he implodes if I'm dealing with more than one thing at a time.
Yeah. And that whole toe-to-toe parenting approach, like, you know, just getting in their face, that you need to let an ENTP save face.
Yes.
You know, and I see that with my daughter too. She leads with introverted thinking. That's her number one. And so with her, anytime you tell her what to do and there's no wiggle room, oh, that never flies with her. And so just kind of saying, hey, you know, this would mean a lot to me if you did this. Not necessarily with the dishes, not necessarily with chores, but if you're trying to, you know, just get a concept across to them and say, you know, it'd mean a lot to me if you did this, putting it out there like that, and then giving them a chance to come around and act like it was their idea. That's a really great approach with this type. And it happened to my daughter all the time where we would kind of, you know, have a disagreement about something and I would just kind of leave it. And then the next day she would be doing it.
Yeah. Well, and I do this because I remember vividly being a teenager and my parents telling me to do something and staying in my face and not giving me the time to process and to integrate it as, okay, I'm going to do this for my, because these are my reasons. And I remember feeling anger boiling in my bones. Because I felt this push, like they were challenging me and forcing me. I felt it boil. And that happened for years. It just kept on building. And I had an enormous amount of anger. It's why I went on my rebellious streak when I finally was able to. But all they really had to do was giving me a little bit of space to process and stop making it a war that they had to win.
Yeah, so interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the number one reason that parents call me about ENTP kids, is their explosive nature. Because they do have this anger and frustration because they need independence and autonomy. And they need to feel respected like they're an adult and be able to explore, because that is their number one need, is to explore. And so a kid that needs to learn from life. So, well, Sarah, there have been so many aha moments in this conversation. You're so articulate in, you know, in talking about just your process. Is there any process of, you know, the way you've learned to deal with your own son and then, you know, your own self-awareness. Is there anything else you want to leave people with? Any other thoughts that you have that you'd like to get in there?
I guess just one more thing. And I think the most powerful thing a parent can do if their child is like me in this regard, ENTP, is to plant seeds. Like, make it your job to plant seeds that help them think through what they're doing and why they're doing it. And let that be how you steer them. I liken it to a river. If a river is going in one direction, you can't stand in the middle of it and say, stop, it will never work. But what you can do is look down the road and put in place a rock that will steer the river to the left next time. And then another rock. You need to anticipate and look further down the road and not make it about the moment today. And instead, plant seeds that are going to get them steering in the right direction for the long term. Play a longer game is my best advice.
Yeah. And spoken like a true conceptual big picture thinker. I love that. So Sarah, tell people that are watching or listening about where, what you do a little bit more, and if they want to be involved in what you're doing.
And I lead an organization called the Colorado Thought Leaders Forum. And CTLF's mission is to redefine what leadership and business culture looks like today and well into the future. And we want to help leaders be able to come in and learn how to be authentic and to lead well, and to then be able to take it out there and transform the cultures they're a part of so that they could be authentic, healthy, and prosperous. And that's the difference we're trying to make in the world.
And it's not easy, parents, raising a future leader. And so I would say, like, if you're going to pick up any books on how to parent your ENTP, well, of course, you want to, you know, pick up my book, this one right here, because I wrote 50 pages on an ENTP child with all kinds of stories. But, you know, books about how to coach your kid. Like, you need to be a coach. You need to come alongside that ENTP, as opposed to being that ultimate authority. You need to come alongside and be more of a coach and ask questions and let them come to their conclusions. So,
and I will add that the way that I'm able to parent my children, who are such different personalities, and also the way that I understand myself, came largely from the work I did with you, Wendy, because as soon as you profiled our family and I got to understand who my kids were, it changed everything for me. And I don't think that we'd be as successful as we are if not for the work you did to help us. So thank you for that.
Oh, I appreciate that. It was my pleasure working with you guys. And yeah, I used to work with business teams, and I was using temperament with business teams. And I thought, I am butting heads with my daughter at home. I wonder if I could use this information with her. And temperament does manifest itself differently in kids and adults, because obviously, look at who you are now versus who you were as a kid, this explosive, you know, angry child, you know, and now you're probably calm, and it probably takes a lot to get you rattled. And so the way temperament manifests itself in kids is a lot different than in adults, but there definitely are patterns there. Thanks so much for listening. It would be way too normal and expected for me to ask you for a review. So if you learned something new or just wanted to show the love, instead I'll just say, eat some soup. And that'll be my special way of asking, but not asking. So eat some soup. It'll make you feel all good and warm inside. And as a thank you, I'd love to offer you two free resources. The first is a beautifully illustrated ebook entitled 14 Instant Ways to Form a Deeper Connection with Your Child. And the second is a free child temperament test and video for gaining new insight into one of your children. You'll find these free resources at wendygossett.com. And you can also check out many helpful articles, as well as buy a copy of Your Child's Inner Drive, Parenting by Personality from Toddlers to Teens. Or maybe you're ready. You're tired of riding the cranky train because there isn't enough peace in your home. So make the move and sign up for my Understanding Your Family 101 Brain Mapping Personality session. There are scads of helpful videos on my YouTube channel at Wendy Gossett, including the silly one of me dancing in a blizzard on the highway, embarrassing my child. So until next time, friends, keep dancing through the quirks and chaos of parenting, because who needs normal when you can thrive in the extraordinary?